5. Look back with me now. I know it's stuffy in here. A certain woman, that's what it says in verse 25, a certain woman. You know how many times it says a certain woman or a certain man? Don't give them their names. I believe the reason the Lord does that is to let everybody know that you don't have to have a, you can just be anybody. It can be anybody. It could be you, a certain man, a certain woman. It could be you. It could be you. And here's this woman. She had been dying for 12 long years, and the Lord did something for her. But a certain woman, and over in Luke chapter 8, it says about, you know, our Lord asked her, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" But our Lord Jesus Christ went about doing good. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And here in this chapter alone, he cast out a legion of devils, a legion of them, a whole legion of them. And that's 100, at the minimum of 100. 100 demons in a person. Mary Magdalene had 7, had 7. And then he, Jairus, sent word to him, says, "My daughter's sick, would you come?" He's a ruler of the synagogue. And that's where he's headed. He's headed on his way to Jairus' house to heal her daughter. And I tell you, as our Lord's going to Jairus' house on the way, healing virtue flows out of his body. A healing virtue. And that's what he said. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He himself bore all of our sicknesses and our infirmities. Now how could he feel all of our sicknesses and never get sick? How could he touch a leper and not be leprous? How could he touch a sinner and not become a sinner? Those are mysteries of the scriptures. But it's, that tells you who we're dealing with. We're dealing with someone that's so far above us and yet can be touched with us and touched by us. And he's the only one that can do anything for us. And so this certain woman is on the way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter. And this, on his way, this healing virtue comes out of him. And this healing virtue touches this poor, sick, helpless woman. And so as Jairus saw this happen, saw this woman healed, imagine how this encouraged Jairus. And so here our Lord gives him, Jairus, a handful on purpose. But now notice some things about this woman. I want you to notice some things with me about her. In verse 25 here said, "A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. She had a disease, an awful disease, an awful affliction. And 12 long years, 12 long years, her life is slowly ebbing away. And the life of the flesh is in the blood." I heard of a man and woman that I knew and have known for quite some time. I know her husband had cancer, so I contacted her recently and asked how he was doing. And the doctors, he'd done went through all of his chemo and all that things, and his oncologist said, "Well, he's got another 5 or 6 years without any doubt." Well, then all of a sudden, he started bleeding. He started bleeding. And the hospital and the doctors tried to stop the bleeding, and they couldn't stop it, and he bled to death. Cancer never killed him. He bled to death. That's what was happening to this woman. She was bleeding to death. And she's weak because of this condition. Very, very weak. And when you had an issue of blood as a woman, that made you unclean. Anything you sat on had to be washed. Anything you touched had to be washed. And not only is she weak because of this condition, she is unclean because of this condition, and she's miserable because of this condition. She's absolutely, utterly miserable. And that's the effect of sin. That's the effect of sin. There's no external remedy for this woman. Nobody's been able to help this woman. Who in the world can deal with your sin? Sin has such an effect on us that we live with it every day in our bodies even. We live with it in our minds. We live with it in our bodies. We live with it in our imaginations. We live with it in our eyes. We live with it in our ears. Every part of our being is affected by sin. And sin is a horrible disease. And there's only one person that can cure that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If people ever, ever, by God's grace, find out what sin is, they will not stop until they get to Christ, like this woman with this issue of blood, will not stop until they get to Him. They won't do it. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Every believer presses into the kingdom of God. We know our need. We know the effects of sin upon us. And there's no external wisdom remedy here. And the wisdom of man has never yet found a remedy for sin. In fact, most preachers don't even mention the word. Most preachers talk about how you can, we want to go to the traditional service or the contemporary service. We're going to wear sunglasses in the service or going to wear shorts in the service. We're going to wear a tie in the service or we're going to go in our everyday clothes. That's all they're interested in now. Well, you want to come to the traditional or contemporary. We don't care if you're tattooed up, tattooed down, bald-headed, got hair down to your back. It don't make any difference. Just come and give God a try. But beloved, I tell you, the effects of sin, there's no remedy been found for it yet. Man in his wisdom's tried everything under the sun. Education, religion, and yet, just like this woman with the issue of blood, she's been in this process of dying for 12 years because of the disease of her blood. And beloved, men are dying in the process of sin working itself out in them. Sin. Oh, the effects of sin. You know when we'll finally be done with sin? When this body quits functioning. That's the only time we're going to be done with it. That's why we rejoice when a believer goes home to be with Christ. He doesn't have to stay here and deal with this thing called sin anymore. And you say, well, I'm not a sinner. Well, that you'll never know Christ until you're a sinner, I'll tell you that. Huh? But now look at her effort. So she had this issue of blood, this awful disease. Look at her effort. And says in verse 26, down the middle of the verse, has spent all that she had. She wanted to save herself. She wanted to save herself from this condition she is in. And it says here, she spent all that she had. Everything she had. She run out of all of her money. She went to this doctor, that doctor. He charged her this much. That one charged her this much. That one charged her this much. Well, he says, well, I'll send you to this specialist and I'll send you to this other specialist. And I'll tell you what, maybe they'll get you healed up. Maybe they'll get you done. She did this for 12 years and she run out of money. No more doctors going to see her. She ain't got no money. That's the way it is now. Oh, you run out of money. Your insurance runs out. Got to go to the house. But I tell you what, but here she spent all that she had. And she did this to save herself. And I tell you what, bone for bone, flesh for flesh, I tell you what, a man will do everything in his power to save himself. He'll do everything in his power, including spending money, going to doctors, going to churches, going to preachers, going to seminaries, going to everything they can possibly do to save themselves. Save themselves. And she knew she was diseased and willing to give and give everything she had, and she did give all she had to get well. And it didn't do no good. She lost all pretense of being good enough. No self-justification anymore. No shamming and no scheming anymore. No going to doctors anymore. And I'll tell you what, when people quit pretending to be good enough or justifying themselves and coming in here and playing the hypocrite and shaming and scheming. Well, I tell you what, that's when you go to where you're supposed to go. But she was earnest enough. She just went to the wrong place, the wrong source. Because you know a cure couldn't be purchased. That's the whole point of this. She could not purchase a remedy for the condition she is in. Couldn't be purchased. And oh my, look what she did now. And she was nothing better but rather good word and had suffered many things of many physicians. Well, suffered many, many things of many physicians. You know, there's a lot of doctors. Let me name just a few of them. A lot of doctors out here. There's the Sadducees in the scriptures. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They believed when you died, that's it. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in spirits. So she went to the old Dr. Sadducee, and you know what Dr. Sadducee told her? Said, well, enjoy yourself. You're only going to live once. There ain't no time after this. Huh? Oh, don't be so anxious about it. So, oh my, she went to Mr. Pharisee, Dr. Pharisee. He said, oh, listen, keep the law. Keep the commandments. And I tell you what, you pay attention to what you do, and you live a good, holy, godly life. And God will take you to heaven when you die because you've been good enough. And his son to civility says, oh, listen, if you act civil and act good and act moral and act patriotic, that'll get you by. And here comes old Dr. Ceremony. You know what he says? Come to the front. You know what he says? Come up here. We'll baptize you, and that water will wash away your sins. Bring your baby up here, and we'll sprinkle some water on his head. And oh my, old Dr. Orthodox, he said, oh my, if you get all your ducks in a row, cross all your T's, dot all your I's, and understand everything there is to understand, and get all the correct opinions in your mind, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. And then here comes another doctor. You know what his name is? Preparation. Dr. Preparation. And this is the one that's the most popular. Make yourself fit for Christ. Make yourself fit for Christ. Make yourself fit for grace. Make yourself fit for salvation. If that's something that they used to do all the time. That people used to say all the time, said, boy, if you need to clean yourself up and go to church. Clean yourself up and go to church. That's what they say. If you just come up to the church up there, you know, and people want to prepare themselves and make themselves fit. I've done this myself before I ever got converted. I remember going out to North Dixie in Dayton, Ohio, and I went into a Christian bookstore and bought myself a Bible, and it was a World Bible. It's made by World, and I'd been miserable enough and been from Vietnam, and I was one miserable human being. Couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. I was miserable. I mean, I couldn't eat. I was awful a condition I was in. So I said, I know what I'll do. I'll buy me a Bible. And I'll read that Bible, and I'll start doing better. And surely if I start doing better, I'll start feeling better. And if I thought, well, I'm going to start with the Sermon on the Mount. Everybody talks about the Golden Rule, Sermon on the Mount. I got the book, Bible down, and I started reading Sermon on the Mount. And you know what I found out? I was a poor in spirit. I didn't hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I found out right there that our Lord said, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And I found out right then and there that wasn't going to help. That didn't help. That made it worse. That just made it worse. I was trying to get fit for the kingdom of heaven. But oh, listen. And I tell you, the reason these cures didn't work was because they didn't know, none of these doctors understood the disease. You got to understand the disease before you can get cured of it. And look at her failure after she did all this. Look what it said there again in verse 26. Suffered many things of many physicians. Spent all that she had, and look at this, and was nothing better, didn't get any better, but rather grew worse. She got worse and worse and worse. Oh, shit. You'd think after she spent everything she had, went to all these doctors, surely she'd been all right. Surely things is going to start getting better. But she was nothing better, but she got worse and worse and worse. And if you're thinking that you're going to get better and better and better, listen, you don't know. Paul says, when I would do good, evil presents itself. That I wouldn't do, I do. And what I would do, I don't. Did he sound like he is getting better? But she's now without hope. Worse than ever because she spent everything she had. She was like Job's physicians. They were physicians of no value. Huh? Oh, physicians of no value. Every time they went there, she came back with a false peace. She came back feeling, well, I think that's going to work. I believe that's, so I'll be good enough now. And oh, listen, I'm going to do better. I'm going to change the way I do this. And then there's old Joy in the church. They couldn't help because they did not know the source of her disease. Oh, my. But look what she said. Oh, man, listen to this now. Oh, she's without hope. She said, nothing better, but rather grew worse. It's like those seven devils, you know. It's like that unclean spirit that went out of the house. You know, this man had an unclean spirit. And the scripture says that he said, I'm going to go out. And he went out. He left that man's house, and it was swept and garnished. Cleaned, oh, they swept it up real good. Put some garnish around it, you know, put some crosses around him and put some badges and flags and emblems on all of him, you know, and made him look good, got him a Bible. And oh my, put crosses all over his house. I tell you what, put some pictures of Jesus up. And I mean, that house was clean. And he went out trying to find some rest. That unclean spirit trying to find some rest and not finding. You know what he said? I'm going to go back to that house that I come out of. Well, that thing's swept and garnished. It's all fixed up. I'm ready to go. He said, well, that old fellow said, I'm going to go back in there. And you know what he did? He took seven devils with him. He was worse than when he first started. And I tell you, that's what this poor old woman did. She got worse. But look at her faith. Look at her faith. And when she had, verse 27, she had heard of Jesus, came in the press and said, if I may touch, in verse 28, but if I may touch his clothes, just his clothes, not him, just his clothes. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be heard. But she heard of the Master. She heard of the Master. I want you to look with me over here in Romans 10. Look with me in Romans 10. You know, this is a missing note in today's preaching, is that people not hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I listen to a lot of ads on the radio, and there's a lot of religious ads on there. A lot of religious ads from right here in this county. And I'm sure some of you have heard them. Some of you have heard them. I mean, they're awful. They're awful. But they don't mention Christ. The only way they mention Christ is in the name of their church, the Church of Christ. But they give you every reason in the world to come there other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is what we're going to do for your kids. And this is what we're going to do for you. And this is what we're going to do that. We love Crossville. And you know what? So what? We love Crossville. What's that got to do with having a relationship with God? But I tell you, this is a missing note. Men are not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But look here in Romans 10:11. For the scripture saith, whosoever, oh, don't you love that word? Whosoever, you know who that means? Whosoever, that's who it means. Believeth on him, that's the qualifying, shall not be ashamed or not be brought to shame. And look what he says here now. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Listen to this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calling on the name of the Lord, calling on Christ, calling on his name, calling on his power, shall be saved. Now listen to this now. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? If you don't believe on him, how are you going to call on him? And then, and here you ask this question, and how shall you believe in him of whom you have not heard? If you haven't heard about him, how are you going to believe him? If you've not heard of Christ, how are you going to believe him? Huh? And so she heard. It's like Bartimaeus. She heard. He heard the Lord Jesus Christ coming. He heard. And people hears. And I tell you, and the scripture says in Isaiah 54:13, all thy children shall be taught of God. Here she's being taught. Her faith is so simple, if I can just touch his clothes. Just touch his clothes. Just touch his clothes. Not him, just his clothes. Her faith was simple, yet great. She is poor. She's got nothing she can give. She's not expecting any kind of medication from him. No medicine from him. She believes that just a touch of his garment, just a touch of his garment, will bring instant healing, instant salvation. Our Lord to her was the source and center of almighty fullness of everything she needed was going to be found in him. Going to be found in him. So, oh my, she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be heard. She heard. And then look what it says. And straightway, in verse 27, she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and look what it says, and touched his garment. Because she said to herself, if I can just touch his garment. She just touched his garment. There's a crowd, big crowd around Christ. She pressed in there. She muscled her way in there. In her weakness and her frailty and her poverty. And she pressed her way among that crowd. And she got up behind the Lord Jesus Christ and just touched his garment. Just touched his garment. That's all she did was touch his garment. Just touched his garment. And it says, look what it says in verse 20. Straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And look what it says. And she felt in her body that she is healed. Oh my. She felt it in her body. She fountain dried up. How in the world can you tell if your faith is real? Some of you may be wondering, how do I know that I've got real faith? How do I know I've got real faith? Well, her faith reached out and touched Christ. That's what real faith does all the time. Real faith always goes outside itself to him. She never looked at her faith, she looked to him. She never looked to her disease, she looked to him. And real faith always goes outside itself, always reaches out to Christ, always embraces Christ, always wants to touch Christ. If you wake up in the middle of the night, the first thing you do is you call on Christ. That's what we do. We can't help it. We cannot help it. Her faith reached out and touched the Lord. And true faith, real faith, always does this because it has nowhere else to go. Has nowhere else to go. And then her cure was sudden. It says straightway, immediately, our Lord answers the cry of faith and trust. And not only that, but her cure, not only was it sudden, but it was complete. The scripture says, and her blood was dried up. Her blood was dried up. You see, his remedy goes right to the root of the problem. Right to the root of the problem. Right to the root of the disease. And over in Mark, it says she was made perfectly whole. She was complete, sudden. And I'll tell you something else. Her cure was consciously enjoyed. She felt in her body. Huh? She felt. Here's the thing about it. She couldn't feel better till she is made better. And a man can't feel better till he's made better. And I tell you what, it's what happened to her. Many were touched. She felt in her body. She felt. And I don't know, you know, I know that we can't go by feelings, but I tell you what, you can't be converted and you can't be saved by the grace of God and not know it and not feel it and not enjoy it. You can't do it. Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, what did he do? I tell you, you cannot know Christ and not enjoy it. You cannot touch the Lord and not feel it. You cannot be converted and not have a new birth and not know it. Well, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. Why don't you know? You can know. How can I know? Touch Christ. Come to Christ. As Scott Richardson used to say all the time, you can come to Christ and not move a muscle right where you sit. Because you don't come to Christ by a physical movement. You come to Christ by a spiritual movement. It's in the heart reaching out to him. It's in the soul reaching out to him. It's the mind calling on him. It's the person looking to him and crying out and reaching out to him. Oh my. And that's the thing about it. People want to feel better, but you can't feel better till Christ makes you better. Right? All right. Look, and many were touching him. But only one touched him by faith. And look what it says in verse 30. And Jesus immediately knowing that in himself, see, she felt something come out of Christ and do something for her. And Christ felt her touch. Christ felt her touch. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself, now listen to this, that virtue had gone out of him. Something, you know, when she touched him, whatever was in Christ that would cause her to be healed, it went outside of him, went to her. It's like his blood, when it's applied to our conscience, when it's applied to our soul, we feel the effects of it. And oh, look what happened. And he turned about him in the press. He looked around him. He turned about and looked around and said, now listen to this. Who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? Oh, my. Why did our Lord ask who touched my clothes? Was it because he didn't know who it was? Look in verse 32. And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. He looked right at her. He knew that she was coming. He knew that she was going to touch him. He knew he had this fixed before the world ever began. He had that crowd around him, so she would have to press in there to touch him. And oh my. And he looked around and looked right at her. So looked at her right in the eye. You know why he asked who touched me? He wanted her confession. She wanted she's going to give him all the glory. He did the work. She's going to give him all the glory. Huh? Why did I? Was it because he didn't know? Oh, he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. The question was asked to bring her to acknowledge our Lord's power, our Lord's grace, and our Lord's blessing to her. Over in Mark it says she was not hid. And she stood in front of everybody and told her confession. And look what it says now. But in verse 33, that woman fearing and trembling. Oh my. Knowing what was done in her. Oh, she's a big crowd around her. And I'm going to have to tell what's going on, what's happened, where I've been, what all I've done, what a mess I've made out of my life. I'm going to have to tell him. I'm going to have to tell it all. I'm going to have to tell my disease. I'm going to have to tell my poverty. I'm going to have to tell my weakness. I'm going to have to tell my sin to him. I'm going to have to confess. I'm going to have to acknowledge everything. I thought I'd just slip up there and get healed and go on about my business. But that's not the way God is. That's not the way Christ is. No. Huh? Oh, my. And she's come trembling and fearing, knowing what was done in her. And look what she did. And she came. There's a crowd around her now. She came and fell down before him. Fell down before him. Oh, my. You know, I tell you what. And let me ask you all this question. How many of you have ever prostrated yourself before Christ, sitting right where you are? Fell before him right where you sit. How many of you have been sitting in your house, sitting in your home, sitting in your chair, sitting in your car, and prostrate yourself, fall down before the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of you done that? I'd say a bunch of you have. Huh? But oh my, look what she says now. And she came and fell down before him, and listen to this, and told him all the truth. What was the truth that she had to tell? I was sick. I was poor. I had no place else to go. I was out of all hope. I had no strength. I was so sick, and I was so weak, and I was so frail, and I was so hopeless, and I had a disease that could not possibly be cured. This thing called sin could not possibly be cured. And she told him, said, but listen, I heard about you. I heard about you. I heard that you had the power and you had the willingness and you had the grace and you had the virtue and you had everything a sinner needed and everything that a poor woman like me needed. And I thought, if I can just touch you, I'll be all right. She had to tell the truth about herself. She had to tell the truth about Christ and how she was healed. How she is healed. I had so much I was so hopeless that all I wanted to do is just touch your garment. I didn't have to touch you, just touch your garment. That's all I needed. That's all I needed. And she had believed with the heart. Here's the situation. She believed with her heart. Now she confesses with her mouth. That's what she does. She confessed with her mouth and told him all the truth. And I'll tell you what, is anybody in here want to tell Christ all the truth this morning? All the truth about yourself? He knows all the truth about you anyway. You just well tell it. Don't tell me. Tell him. Tell the truth about yourself before him. Are you weak? Are you hopeless? Are you a sinner? Do you have a disease that can't be cured? Are you afraid that you're going to put it off one day too long and then all of a sudden Christ won't deal with you anymore? Christ won't speak to you anymore? Christ won't come and never speak to you again, never touch you again, never hear the voice of Christ again? Oh my. She believed with her heart and confessed with her mouth. And her assurance, look what happened. Christ always gives assurance. Always gives assurance. And he gave assurance to this woman right here. Look at the assurance. And he said unto her, daughter. Boy, what a wonderful thing. Christ call you daughter. I'll be your God. You'll be my sons and you'll be my daughters. And I'll be your God. Daughter. Daughter of Abraham. Daughter of mine. Look what he says. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You believed. You believed. And you would not stop until you touched the hem of my garment. Until you touched my garment. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Go in peace. The issue's been settled. The disease has been cured. The issue's been settled between her and Christ. The issue's been settled between her and her disease. And oh my, what a comforting, blessing word from our Lord Jesus Christ. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. She is saved by faith. But what did he say? She was assured by his word. You believed, and I'm telling you, you believed. You touched me, I know you touched me. I'm telling you, you touched me. But oh, she is saved by faith, but she was assured by his word. If she had gone away, he said, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. If she had gone away without this promise from the Lord Jesus Christ, she might have lived in fear of this terrible disease coming back to her, returning back. Now she not only is healed and feels better and felt it in her body, she not only feels well, but she has her Lord's word for it that she's been made whole of that plague and it won't come back. And oh, let me tell you, I'm going to close with this right here. She fell down before him and told him all the truth. She went over her disease, went over her poverty, went over her weakness, told how I've got, to, you know, I've lost all hope. That's why I came to you. I didn't have any place else to go. And I tell you what, when a person loses everywhere to go in this world, trying to get a cure for their sin, when they get tired of church, when they get tired of realizing that reading the Bible is not going to save them, realize that prayer is not going to save them, realizes that waiting until I feel better and feel like I'm saved, that's going to make them feel better. Listen, let me tell you something. Tell him all the truth right now. If Christ has done something for you, if the Lord Jesus has done something for you, if he's done something in your mind, gave you peace, done something in your heart, gave you rest, done something in your conscience, took away its guilt and shame, tell it. Tell the truth. Tell the truth of what he's done for you. If Christ done something for you, tell the truth. Tell it. Don't be ashamed. Why would you be ashamed? I tell you what, you know what? You'll enjoy what Christ has done for you. You'll enjoy it. You can't enjoy it until you tell it. Can't enjoy it until you tell it. That's why I tell it here every Sunday. That's why I love talking with the Lord's people. That's why I love the gospel. I enjoy Christ. I enjoy Him. I enjoy my salvation. Our Father, in the blessed name of Christ our Lord, cause this gospel to run well here today. Cause it to bring forth fruit to your glory. Cause it to honor your blessed Son. And, oh, Father, if someone's touched your garment, someone's touched you, you know it and they know it. We pray that you'd give them the faith, the grace to confess our Lord Jesus Christ, to tell about what truth, that I'm a sinner, Christ is the Savior, that I'm a sinner, Christ is my only hope, that I have no ability except what Christ gives me. And, oh, Lord, if they've heard, if they've truly heard Him, enable them to call upon Him. We ask these things in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.